11, Hebrews chapter 11. Finish this great chapter. Boy, I'm telling you, I've never taught the book of Hebrews, preached the book of Hebrews. I'm not sure which I'm doing. But even Hebrews chapter 11 that I was far more familiar with and had enjoyed immensely through the years, it's become more precious to me, even preaching it, slowing down a little bit and pausing, right? That's why teaching's so good. It'll cause you to slow down in the Word of God and say, what would I teach? It's one thing to read the Word of God, and I think it's important. Get it in you. Then think about, well, what would God have me to teach? Because I think what that comes down to is, you need to know the what. What is it saying? But it's the so what. Okay, so what do I do with this, right? That's the critical thing about God's Word. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 40. It says, and what shall I say, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to talk of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. We have a shift here. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't get to see all that we know. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That'll be something we'll talk at the end, but we'll try to make sure you understand verse 40 and don't get all twisted up there with verse 40. Title of the message, a long title, Faith in Christ, Glorious and Grueling with the Perfect Finish. We don't like that grueling part. It is glorious. Faith in Christ is glorious. But it can be grueling, and some of you have experience some of that as well. Let's just begin tonight. I call it the Hall of Faith Honorable Mention. So you have all of these men and women that, the Bible doesn't call chapter 11 the Hall of Faith, but I've just adopted that, heard that before, and I think it is. It's sort of like God outlines the faith of these great men and women that are an example for us, that we should follow, that we should learn from, that we should understand. There's probably two things I'm walking away with just that are easy for me to remember that God has impressed on my heart. One, the faith that God talks about primarily, we'll see it shift a little bit tonight, is faith that leads to obedience. How do you know you have the faith that God would want you to have? It leads to victory over sin. It leads to obedience. Now, we're going to have circumstantial faith mentioned quite a bit here. So there's really two kinds of areas that I see faith. Faith that leads to obedience and faith that will trust God in the most crazy of circumstances, the most hard circumstances, the most difficult circumstances. Hebrews 11 up to this point primarily has dealt with faith that led to obeying God and then God doing what he said. But the second thing is, we talked about this, is that they had a focus that I want to have, and I related it back to John 14, but it is that if we can keep focused, that there is one day a better place, there is a city, there is a country that I'm pursuing, that I want my eyes to remain on, I don't want to get too attached to this world, that is the faith that will lead to victory. It talks about that. It is, I'm a sojourner, I'm a pilgrim, I'm just passing through. We've heard many songs with that, but that is so mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 that when I'm struggling, I need to get my eyes not only on Christ. You know, John chapter 14 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. First get your eyes on Christ. he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he gets them thinking about what the future is. First is Christ. Then second is, this isn't my home. I'm not going to get too attached to this. I'd rather get attached to people, not in a sinful way, where they would cause me to deviate from what God would want. But I don't want to get attached to things or locations or places. You know, it's sort of like missionaries. I love this, God's burden your heart for Mozambique. Who knows where you'll be out in 15 years? It may be Mozambique today. It may be somewhere else tomorrow. You just don't know. So, you know, you're convicted in your heart that God wants you to be a missionary. The where is just whatever God wants. And so, you know, maybe you'll learn the Mozambique language and it'll drill you into Mozambique. All that's good. But it is, I've always said this. This is where I think I'll die as a pastor, right? You go like, man, I hope so soon. You know, it is, I joke with that, right? I joke with the high priest. Wouldn't you hate to be a high priest when they're the cities of refuge? But you could not leave the city of refuge until the high priest died? How many prayers are being lifted up? Oh, God, kill the high priest, right? So it's interesting, right? I tell you that as a missionary, but I'm convinced that I don't want to pastor any other church. It's a little different. Missionaries are different than pastors. Don't do it as I say. Anyway, all right. Sorry about that. We can move on. Hall of Faith, honorable mention. Let's look at these guys. I want you to put your fingers in the book of Judges, so you can, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, the book of Judges. Many of these guys that are mentioned in the honorable mention Hall of Faith are in the book of Judges, and let's just we'll review them a little bit just to see what we can learn from them. But look at verse 32 in Hebrews 11. He says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon." Gideon is highlighted in Judges chapter 6 and 7. And Gideon did great and mighty things. Remember, he just was used in an incredible way. Gideon and his 300 with, my wife always remembers this because of the song. What pitcher in his right hand? And was it? Which one was it? Which one was my wife? She's in the nursery. Yeah, which hand was it? I think the Bible said which hand, but maybe it doesn't. I didn't. Which one is it? Gideon, a pitcher in his. Okay, pitcher in his left hand, trumpet in his right. Is that what it was? Does the Bible tell us that, or is that just catchy for the song? The Bible does. Okay, all right, that's good. I was going to say I didn't want to lead our kids to heresy, and so it's just when they're poor in the pitcher, you'd be like, you're not good with your left hand, but that's what Gideon did. Anyway, Judges chapter 6. I want you to look at Judges chapter 6. God mentions these men, no women here, but he's mentioned many women of faith. But he mentions them because he wants to encourage us. Gideon was no different than any of us sitting here today. Gideon was cowering from the enemy. He was threshing the wheat in a wine press so he would hide from the enemy. And just look at Judges chapter 6. Let's begin at verse 13. But again, God doesn't mention anyone's sin in Hebrews chapter 11. And there is a character in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, that I one of the most difficult chapters in all the Bible to preach was Judges chapter 11. And God mentions old Jephthah. Jephthah, loser. And God says, I could say more. Yeah, I wish he would. Anyway, Judges chapter 6, verse 13 says this. And Gideon says unto the angel of the Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Should be enough. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And you know the sign with the fleece. And he then says, Okay, I want... want everything but the fleece to be wet. Now I want only the fleece to be wet and everything else dry. And he was a man full of excuses, a man that felt inadequate. And do you know what the truth is? He was inadequate. Because what God says is, God says, have I not sent thee? This is the beautiful thing. When God gives us a commandment, he will equip us to do it. And so we need to trust in him and have the same faith. And it's okay, but obey. The Lord is, the Lord, you know, engages him. The Lord, you know, he gives him a sign, a double sign. And then Gideon does obey, and God uses him greatly. And Gideon was just a man. He later had troubles. But he mentions Gideon because he wants you to know this isn't about superheroes. It's not. It's about regular people that just say, I'll obey. When the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first, we are going to be blown away. It's not going to be the names that you hear today. It's not going to be it's not going to be the pastors. It's not going to be the preachers. It's going to be people that have obeyed God in simple obedience, and God has used greatly. Just be encouraged by that. He names Gideon. And I'm telling you, I think there's greater faith in many of you than was in Gideon. And now he mentions Barak, and that's in Judges chapter 4. And you know this, it was Deborah was judge at the time. And every Deborah I've known tries to rule. And I mean, it is like, you know, her name means busy bee. And it can be tough for Barak. And I want you to look at Judges chapter 4, and you'll see this. She was a great leader and a great encouragement to him. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward the Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak of Kedesh. What I love about this story is God still honored Barak, and his faith was weak. It seems like his faith was attached to a human. You know, and so we can just get all bent out of shape, right? If there's people that encourage you, then let them encourage you. Let them help you. But God then will still see you for just serving him, right? And so Deborah was a judge of Israel, and she was a great leader. But she said, you will now not receive the honor and glory that you would have received since I helped you, and the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. He still mentions Barak. I want you to understand this. Gideon, there are people that are more impressive than Gideon in this room. Barak, I want you to understand this. It is, sometimes I hear it from Christians. You're worried, right? I don't want you serving me. I don't. But I also don't want you trying to split hairs and worry about that. You know this? I want to help you serve the Lord. I want to lead you. I will grab you by the arm, just like the angels did from Sodom and Gomorrah, and I will lead you, but I want you to always put your trust in the Lord and always serve the Lord. But I'll tell you this, if it helps you to serve the Lord with somebody else, then do it. I mean, I love my wife. She helps me serve the Lord. I asked her yesterday, because she went into the Fairfield Parade of Lights, and she was a little sick. You know, she's from my house, right? So it's kind of a little difficult. But I said, would you have gone if you weren't my wife? And I think she would have. I think she would have, right? But she'll serve, and she'll serve with me, and she'll love the Lord, and she'll enjoy the Lord, right? I mean, I left last night supercharged. I just loved watching God's people. I just loved watching God's people do things that I hadn't planned on doing. right? I mean, I love Gerald, right? He's Mr. Organized, right? And all of a sudden, man, we had candy canes organized better than any candy canes I've ever seen. But I loved it. It was super helpful, right? It's like it was helpful. And then, you know, Aaron helped with it. You helped with it. You kind of just went in and I love this. It's like this. Yeah, maybe I should be more organized, but thank you for the help, right? And so I just brought candy canes and said, distribute. And super helpful, right? It is just, I love watching God's people. So I want to tell you this. Don't worry if the reason. You want to be serving the Lord for Him. But I want to tell you this. Barak said, I won't serve unless you go with me. Well, God still said he was a man of faith enough to mention. Then Samson. Also, I forgot to put these. Then Samson. Samson. I would love if this were a Sunday school class. I'd be like, where in the world did Samson have faith? Right, Samson. If Samson wasn't listed here, I'd have Samson in hell. Would you? I know. We're going to look at Judges 16. Turn over to Judges 16. We're thinking about Samson. Samson was given great and mighty power by God. It says the Holy Spirit came upon him. I want you to understand that in Judges 16, I won't deal with it tonight, but when it said that Samson wist not that the Lord had departed, it's not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's when God came upon Samson. Upon is that internal or external? External. Upon, not within. So it's not the Holy Spirit leaving, but the power of God. Remember this when David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It's the same concept. When they were anointed, the power of God came upon them. And David knew, my sin will quench the Holy Spirit, and I need the power and the anointing, especially of the Holy Spirit, to do this great and mighty work. Samson wist not that the Lord had departed. Where was Samson's faith? I'm not sure. It may have been. The best place is in Judges. I'll turn back there as well. Judges chapter 16. Let's look at that. But God doesn't mention Samson's sin. Samson was a womanizer. Samson rebelled against his parents. Samson violated all three principles, all three commands of being a Nazarite. Did it with spite. And so look at Judges chapter 16. Let's begin in verse 25. He's captured. His eyes have been put out. And verse 25, and it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, the Philistines, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. They called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. For the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines, all the leaders, were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. That's some place. That beheld while Samson made sport, while they mocked him and mocked his God. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, he does call God correctly. Remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God. Then this always was a question for me, that I may be at once avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. So the preacher here would say, I don't know. Samson was worried about his stinking two eyes, and Samson should have been focused on the glory and honor of the Lord. You get your eyes poked out by the enemy and see what you're focused on. I'm a little bit critical, but I don't want to be in his position. I understand why he's, you know. So he says, and look at verse 29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars. This is faith, that he believed God would answer his prayer. This is the major spot of faith, that he asked for it, and then he took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtolol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. God mentions Samson's faith. I want you to be encouraged. I will never never doubt why and how God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because he will remember your sin no more. And he can say that to every true believer that enters into heaven. Then Jephthah, the story of Jephthah, this horrendous, Judges chapter 11, turn back to Judges chapter 11. Jephthah, the story of Jephthah, he has a great victory over the Ammonites, and he makes a foolish vow. Now, there is questions, I won't go into that. I want to believe that he did not sacrifice her, but there were implications in her life, but we'll find out in heaven. But it's a horrendous chapter. It's a horrendous chapter. But look at Judges chapter 11. I want to show you this foolish vow. This foolish vow. Judges chapter 11, verse 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now, that's specific. But I'm praying that wasn't the outcome. And then, you know the story? What did the guy keep the sheep in the house? Now, that wasn't completely unusual. But his daughter comes out of the house to greet him and to celebrate this great victory that God had given him over the children of Ammon. And you finish the chapter, and it's horrendous. If he actually sacrificed her, that was sin, evil, and ungodliness that is almost unspeakable in the Scriptures. If he then made her just be separate, where she would never marry, never have children, I don't know. But I'm praying that it wasn't a full fulfillment of this vow. Now, some of you would say, you know, the Bible says that every vow that you vow to God, you should keep. God would be clear. If you vow a sinful vow unto God, then repent of that sinful vow and do not keep that. And if there is judgment for you vowing a vow that you do not keep, then you better be willing to accept that versus implementing a sinful vow. You understand that? The Bible never justifies foolishness. So if you've made a foolish vow, repent of the foolish vow, turn to God and say, I understand if there's judgment on this, but I know this, you would never have me implement a foolish vow. But then, Hebrews chapter 11, God states the faith of Jephthah. He was a believer. I want you to understand, believers, we can do terrible things. We can make terrible vows. We can do terrible things. And yet, in the end, God will not remember our sin. What an amazing thing. This is fascinating to me that then next David's mentioned. Wouldn't you think if you mentioned Bible people that, I know the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you would believe that David would be right up there, right? David, the greatest king in all of Israel, at their pinnacle of strength and power. And so, but David isn't also mentioned. And you wonder, he doesn't mention David's sin. You know, David's sin with Bathsheba, killing her husband Uriah. David, God just opens up David's life. And I'm pretty hard on David, but I'm just glad God hasn't put my life on a movie screen too, because nobody would come to church here. And so David's mentioned, but it's just so interesting. He was a great man of faith. His life started out so well. David and Goliath. What a great start. There was some purity there. Because if you think of what was David's life like before Goliath? He was in the fields. David subdued lions. David subdued bears. But he had time alone with his God. That's what enabled him to have the boldness and the faith to stand up to Goliath, because he knew the Lord. He had been abiding in Christ. He had been abiding in the Messiah. He'd been abiding in his love, continuing his love. That's what David did when the sheep weren't needing him. He was a young man that was far beyond his age. What happened when he became king? He got busy. Busy in good things. I'm running a kingdom. And what slipped with David? I'm alone with God. I'm telling you, the more I'm convinced, I've got to slow down somewhere in my life. Somehow in my life, I need time alone with God. Lauren asked me about, you know, an app today, and I told her I multitask, and I think it's okay to multitask. I drive and listen to the Bible. Everywhere I'm at, I listen to the Bible all the time. I'm just always thinking of, you know, just different messages, different passages. I have different Bible studies and different books of the Bible. But I told her this. It's good, and I know, busy person, take advantage where you can multitask, drive, and listen to the Bible, focus on one chapter, listen to it over and over and over again. But I will tell you this, never let that replace time alone with God. Stephen Schultz, I look at you. I have great respect for you. I've never done this. You still get up at 4:30 in the morning? All right. I also get up at 5 in the morning, but I go back to bed. I love this. It's probably the only time you can find to get alone with God. Don't you ever let the flesh overcome you. And I use you as an example in my life so that that is what will make life precious. That is what will make your life different. Time alone with God. I've always said if I have two messages to preach to a church, the main message I always preach is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if I have two messages to preach, imagine I didn't know that. So the room was filled with Christians. The first thing I'd preach is abide in Christ. If I could, I'd preach it for 5 hours. I wouldn't want anyone to leave without understanding this is the most important thing I can do. I need to abide in His love. I need His words to abide in me. I need to focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ needs to be what I drink, eat, sleep. When I wake in the morning, in the midday, in the evening, He's all I think about. He's who I'm dominated with, and everything else will fall into place. Second message I preach is each one reach one, teach one. But if you don't get abiding in Christ, you can do this till you're blue in the face. God still, because He's merciful, may use you. But I will tell you this, if you abide in Christ and then you obey, He will bless it in a way that's beyond measure. I didn't preach this past Wednesday because I had so much to preach, but I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 22 in your own personal time. I want you to notice that it looks like God blessed the blessing with Abraham. And remember, He'd already told him that He'll bless him, make him a great nation, but He said, in blessing I will bless thee. He said it doubly. It looked like God doubled the blessing that He'd already told Abraham, and He said, I'm going to bless and bless you. It looked like blessing squared. Blessing raised to the second power. Go back and read Genesis 22, and you can let me know if you agree, but you see, it was by obedience. And so I want you to understand this, that David, in his pinnacle time, and when you read the Psalms, you can see it in the Psalms. You can read it in the Psalms. You know he was spending time with God. You know God was his heartbeat. You know God was his passion. And then he got too busy. Kings just get too busy to spend time privately with the Lord. Pastors better not get too busy to spend time with the Lord. Moms better not get too busy. I'm pointing at, but anything to tell us? And so, no, I'm just kidding. Damien's like, whoa. Moms, don't get too busy. Dads, don't get too busy. Time alone with the Lord. You're wondering what the gap is in your life? Time alone with God. David, he was mentioned for his faith. The Bible mentions more of his failures than it does his victories, but God only remembers our victory. Then Samuel, mentions Samuel and the other prophets. Samuel just was a product of faith. Remember Hannah? 1 Samuel chapter 1, great chapter. You want to go and see that. She was just beside herself, and she begged God to give her a son. And she said, you give me a son, I'll give him to you. And she did. And Samuel, from his earliest days, the Lord spoke to him, and he followed the Lord. And Samuel wasn't perfect. His sons didn't turn out well. But Samuel remained faithful. I would suggest that, you know, he probably got too busy being a prophet. Being a prophet. Being a prophet's kind of a big deal. Never get too busy to teach your children and to mentor your children and to disciple your children. Samuel was a great man of faith. He was, you know, prophet. He was priest. He wasn't king. But Samuel was a great man of God. It mentions it here. Now let's look at the glorious. Look at verse 33 and 35. It talks about these. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. God gave them victory over the enemy. Wrought righteousness. I want to pause there. Wrought righteousness. okay, I just want to ask you this. Here's my number one issue in life. And maybe it shouldn't be. My number one issue in life is a lack of righteousness. How many of you, okay, and I only want to see it. And then I want to hear it from you afterwards. What you tell me, so maybe the root cause is not spending enough time with Christ, but what I see in my life that is my issue, that is the number one issue I've battled now for 50 years as a believer, is righteousness. How many of you say that's one of the greatest battles? Okay, 3 or 4? All right, 5, 6, okay. All right. But it's, so here's what it is. By faith they wrought righteousness. Do you believe that God will give you the victory? I'm just getting convinced of this. You know, it's this simple. God said, I can overcome it. I'm going to overcome it over and out. It's not any more complicated than that. Yes, don't make provision for the flesh. Yes, I need to immerse myself in my walk with Christ, in His love, in His presence. But it's, do I believe that I can overcome sin? Do I believe that? Do I really believe God, or do I think it's some secret potion? Right? A lot of books have been sold. Let me tell you the secret. Just do what's right. That won't sell a lot of books. Do you have the faith that believes this? When God saved you, He said, now you can be holy. And I know I preached you often that says, well, you know, but hey, I will tell you this. You can be holy. Did Jesus give a command that you couldn't do? Daunting command. Be ye holy as I am holy. You know, the answer to that, right, just in case you're wondering, it's like, I will be one day when I'm dead. But that's in this life, right? It's, look at this in verse 32. These are all positive. Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms. I don't know, that doesn't attract me. But wrought righteousness, that does. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions, right? Daniel, David. They quenched the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They escaped the edge of the sword, right? You can just think of many saints that have escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. The widow at Zarephath, the Shunammite woman, were two women that the Bible tells us about. They received their dead raised to life again by faith. By faith. Now let's look at the grueling. Let's look at the grueling here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. It says, and others were tortured. Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. We'll talk about that in just a second. I think they'll receive a special reward, the Bible speaks of, for martyrs. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, our Savior, most of all. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. You know, the first would be Joseph. Joseph suffered because he was more righteous than his brothers. You know, I could criticize his dreams. We'll get there eventually in Genesis. Was Joseph sinful in telling his brothers the dreams, or naive? I don't know. I think more probably naive than sinful. But it just caused great jealousy, right? It says they were stoned, right? Zechariah was stoned to death. Naboth was stoned to death by Jezebel and her henchmen. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Pretty reliable history and tradition would tell us. That's Isaiah, my favorite book of the Old Testament. Isaiah, faithful servant of the Lord. Shoo, 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 shoo. Sawed him in half. Painful. Isaiah is honored to be a martyr for the king. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. Now, this is so interesting. The Bible does this all the time, right? And the Bible's listing that great list of sin, and all of a sudden it says disobedient to parents. You're like, what? Disobedient to parents? I mean, I read, I love to read. I don't think I read that many kooky commentators, but even good ones say goofy stuff. They go, well, in the more accurate text, it's not tempted. Are you kidding me? Who made you king? Can't trust the Bible? Oh, we can with all the other statements, but not we're tempted. You know what I believe? I believe this. By faith, they were tempted and they overcame temptation. Wouldn't you love to have that faith that you could overcome temptation? Wouldn't that be good? Absolutely. I love it. Right? It's a big deal, right? It's a big deal. They were tempted. God allows it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. There's a door. I think I told you guys a long time ago. I'm a scaredy cat, right? So I don't recommend this, but we went. Is there still a haunted house in Gatlinburg that you pay for to go through? Okay, there was a haunted house in Gatlinburg back when I was a senior in high school. Okay, 1984, right? And you're like, what? So I rode the horse and buggy down to Gatlinburg in 1984. And so me and some buddies, we went to this haunted house. Have I told you this story before? Anyway, I'll make it quick then. Have I told you? Yes. Okay. Ron's the only one that remembers. So my wife has. She's so tired of it. But so we go into this haunted house, and they had real people in it. Right? So, I mean, you know, I don't know. We spook ourselves out. And so it was like I go in there, and I go into this room, and there's like 20 doors. Only one door exits. If I had to do it all over again, because I noticed later that the door that was the right door was slightly ajar. Okay, duh. But when you're you know, afraid, you don't do that. So I went, and this guy was chasing us. And I told these guys, so we had worked ourselves up into a frenzy. What if this guy doesn't work for them, and he's some nut that got into the haunted house, and then he's going to, you know, how you can make things up, you know? You made things up. And so, I mean, I'm telling you this, I ran into the guy. I ran into my friends, because, you know, they'd have doors where and it'd swing you right back. And so we were going through all these doors, and this guy was really good. He acted like an insane guy. I don't know if he worked for them, didn't ask later, just got out of that place. But so I said this to say, one door out of 20. But I was looking for that door. I know, you're thinking, how old were you? 17, but you know, it was, should have been a man, and just took him on and beat him up or whatever. But then I'd have found, oh, you worked for them, I'm sorry. But I was so intently looking for that door. You know, when temptation comes upon you and it feels like you can't overcome it, I want to tell you, you need to look for that door as though it's between you of life and death. God said this, and he's not a liar. He said, I will make a way to escape. There will be a door of escape. There will be a way to escape. You know, I'll mention one other movie since I'm on a roll is, you know, what is it, Finding Nemo? You love that when they go, they're looking for the escape hatch. And, you know, what is it, Dory or whatever her name is? She goes, E-S-C-A-P-E. Escape. And they're like, no, that's escape. And so they finally get out the escape, right? But she was so dumb, she didn't recognize the escape hatch when it was there. But I want you to understand this. There, God mentions this. They were tempted. Don't you think these great saints of the past, David's enough example for us, that they didn't go through the same temptation that we went through? They were men of like flesh. But they found a way to overcome temptation by faith. So continue in verse 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goat skins and being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. You know, just to highlight some things, the slain with the sword. Remember the 85 priests murdered by Doeg? Remember the prophets murdered in Elisha's day? Remember this, Elijah wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins. He wore that, you know, sort of as a prefigure of John the Baptist, but he wore humble clothing and didn't mind the humility. You see, this is circumstantial faith. Verses 33 through the beginning of 35 is easy, right? Conquered kingdoms, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. But when you're tortured, It'll be good for you sometimes to read some of the martyrs of the faith. It'll be good for you sometimes to see some of the torture devices used against people. And they were faithful to the Lord. You see, the reason why we ought to contend for the faith is because the blood of our brothers and sisters in Christ from past years are why we have a Bible today. It's all God, too. But He used the blood of the saints. I don't want it to be in vain. And then look at verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But I want to show you this. The grueling, I talked about that. They obtained three things. One, they obtained a better resurrection. Look at this in verse 35. That they might obtain a better resurrection. The reason why is they said, Christ is better than anything. Christ is worth it. I want to encourage you with this, that you don't need the grace today to imagine you overcoming these circumstances. If I asked the question and anybody rose your hand, I would say, you're just being Peter and you're full of yourself. If I ask anybody up here and I'd say, how many of you are willing to die for Christ? There shouldn't be a hand raised. Okay. Or maybe I guess willing is a different word. I need to ask questions better. Deb, we were working on that this afternoon. Still hasn't helped me. How many of you think you would die for Christ? That would be the way to ask. If anybody's hand's raised, I would say that's foolishness. How many of you would be willing? I hope I would raise my hand and say, I want to be willing. See, God's grace will be sufficient when I need His grace to be sufficient. I don't need that grace. And so I'm not worried right now. If God's grace is not poured out on me, I will recant everything about Jesus Christ, but I trust this and I believe this. His grace will be sufficient. I will be able to do things that I could never imagine me doing because He loves me and He will care for me, and it's for His honor and His glory. So don't you fret if you say, I can't be like these people. You cannot until you need to be. At the moment of temptation, at the moment of crisis, at the moment when you need faith, trust God that He will be there with you and give you the faith that you need. A better resurrection, a better resurrection. They were focused on the end. A good report. Look at verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. At the end of the day, we will receive a good report only because of the cause of Christ, a good report. Now let's look at this in verse 39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't have the blessings to know how Christ would suffer, how the Messiah would suffer. God having provided some better thing for us, the better thing for us is that we get to see it, that they without us should not be made perfect. It's hard for me to even dissect the grammar in this, but I'm convinced here's what it's saying. That they had the same perfection. So let's just look at verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that when He's writing this, Christ had been crucified, Christ had been risen, they had that better thing, that they without us should not be made perfect. But the way that we're made complete, the way that we're made perfect, is the same way. They knew all they needed to know. They knew that Yeshua, which is the same word, Hebrew to Greek as Christos, that Yeshua would come. Yeshua would be God, born of a virgin, would vicariously suffer for them, would die and rise again. But we've been provided better things. We've been provided greater blessings. Is it not a greater blessing to know the details of our Savior? To me, it seems so much more glorious, so much better to know the sufferings of Christ. They didn't have the privilege of having the Lord's Supper because they wouldn't have understood it, that the unleavened bread represented His broken body. The blood represented the shedding of His blood. But you and I do. You and I have the privilege to understand what Christ did, but I will tell you, they were made perfect by the same Messiah. We were given blessings, and I would tell you this. Whose faith should be greater than? Our faith. But what I see is our faith is less than their faith. They didn't have Bibles in abundance. We do. Again, in John 15, it said, abide in His words. They had to memorize it, their motivation to memorize. I want to tell you just from all of Hebrews chapter 11, you just need to trust the Lord. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, trust and obey. God will help you. God will lead you. He will give you a way to escape, and you can do great things. I'm a nut. I believe the pastor has so much influence on a church. I take responsibility for every bad thing that happens with our church. Every limiting, I think God's equipped us to reach more souls than we're reaching. And I think it's there's some perspective. I've told you this. I don't know if I've preached it. I've talked to people privately. Remember when it was Joshua and it was her, wasn't it? Her, Joshua and her, held up Moses' arms. And when his arms came down, they didn't prevail when they lifted up his arms. And the effect of the leadership. Let me tell you, when I read this, and I'm super encouraged. You may disagree with me, but I believe this. Noah, if I get right with God and I manifest righteousness because I'm immersed in Christ, I'm abiding in Christ, I'm abiding in His words, I'm abiding in His love, I believe the floodgates can be opened. We can reach more people. We can see more people saved. And so you know this? I beg each of you, don't be a barrier to God's blessings on this work. That doesn't mean you should leave. Let's just be encouraged. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We have no clue how our sin impacts others. I, by God's grace, I want to see the floodgates. I want to be so challenged, so perplexed, so challenged. How are we going to be able to do it all? I love Ron came up tonight. He already had some thoughts. I take these as God triggering people's minds. And I normally take chairs out for the candlelight service so that we can go in a circle. So we may not go in a circle this year. And so I love it. You know why? Because there's a little bit of faith in that. There's a little bit of faith in that. I'm not trying to puff you up. I know you're a loser, right? So just I said that publicly, but it's this. I love this when somebody encourages me, says, why don't we leave a few more chairs in here this year? Well, let's be part of filling those chairs up. Well, let's pray for God and trust in God that He'll use feeble efforts like we had yesterday. We're going to put some door hangers out throughout all of Wildwood again. We'll do it for the 10th year in a row. Had less than 20 people come from Wildwood, but I'm going to put those door hangers back out there. I'm going to pray with it. Let's walk with God, and I think God will do great things. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. By faith, they overcame some of the greatest obstacles ever. Jesus said, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. I'm not interested in moving a mountain. I'm interested in reaching people for Jesus Christ. What about you? What the barrier is sin. By faith, they subdued righteousness. I love our church. Let's by faith trust the Lord. Let's by faith love one another. Let's by faith just don't let anything get in the way but the cause of Christ and His kingdom. Let's pray. Father,